Thank you, Mac. Salma. It's great to come together and worship God, isn't it? He is a great God. Oh, yeah. Oh, I like this. This is great. God is good?
God is good.
Okay. Let's all get on the same page. I'll say God is good, and you say all the time. How's it? Does that work for you? Okay. God is good.
God is good.
We'll get it. That's one thing we'll practice through the new year. It's so good to come together and worship God. And one of the ways we do that is by acknowledging God in prayer. And so I want to just take a moment and I want to pray. And we've had some requests before us. And so we need to pray for the family, Diane and Roman's nephew. And we have a few other things. So let's come before the Lord and let's talk to him in prayer, shall we? Father God, we have come together as your people this morning, and the reason being is because we love you. And Lord, in that love and out of that love, we express our love and encouragement to one another. And it's good to be in your house and to acknowledge that you are a great God. We love you. And you've done so many things, miraculous things in our life, that we can only acknowledge you as Lord. This morning, God, as we come together, we grieve together as well. We grieve, Lord, for Adam's family who is suffering loss right now. And, Lord, we just ask that you be close to them and be particularly close to his parents. And, Lord, we pray that that you would just intervene there in whatever way it needs to happen so that they would see you're a God who does control all things. And, Lord, that you're a God who does comfort. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Lord, that Robin is now out of Afghanistan and, Lord, is teaching in Poland, and we pray for him. We pray, God, that you would give him what he requires, and also, Lord, that you would give him the rest that he needs. Lord, we've sung an awful lot this morning about your word and the power of your word, and we would just pray that as your word opens to us today, that we would receive power only from you. We just pray that you'll be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, communication is really vital to any relationship, whether it be a marriage or even in a business relationship. Communicating is vital, and I think even more so today. I believe the lost art in life is the art of listening or even hearing. One can listen but not hear, or one can hear and not listen. And I believe it's because we've lost sight of really what we need in order to live a powerful life. And so I'm just going to ask if, you know, please don't turn off your hearing because we need this today. We could be like, show Pickles cartoon, you know me, I gotta have a... do you ever think about all the what-ifs of life? Like, what if I'd never met you? What if I had gone to art school instead? What if I'd never discovered my gift of understanding cat talk? What if we'd had more kids? What if I had taken that job as a fortune cookie writer? What if you'd tried Rogaine? What if I just turn my hearing aid off? You know, I hope you're not going to turn off your hearing this morning. Because we want to talk about what the final authority is in your life. I mean, when you're concerned, when you're really up against it, when you're forced to face reality, upon what do you lean? Before you answer too quickly, you think about that for a moment. When it comes to establishing your moral standards, what is your guide? Who is your guide? And you're on a stormy, churning sea of emotions, and you're thinking of the what-ifs in life. Where do you go? Well, we could talk an awful lot about things like job uncertainty or bankruptcy or marriage breakdown. But how do we handle that? Well, the ways we typically deal with such uncertainties vary in our life. But there usually are crutches that we've learned well from the world on which we lean. The first crutch that we usually lean on is denial of reality. Initially, most people just kind of run. They run to escape the pain. They either run away emotionally or they literally run in physical ways. They deny what's happened or is happening. They refuse to let reality run its course and take its toll on them. They deny, deny, deny. I'm quoting Colin Thatcher, for those of you who know him. Deny, deny, deny. Or another crutch that we usually could lean on is displace our anger. We are projected on other people. We choose to become dark inside, disillusioned. And when that happens, resentment and then finally bitterness festers and can't forgive themselves. And so they become victims of themselves and hostility turns towards God or to some other person. And you just, yeah, you're angry. Blah. A lot of you there this morning. Just kidding. The third crucial crutch that the world has taught us is fantasy. Now, people choose to read a book, which helps them escape reality. They listen to other people who will enable them in their little self-pity world, and they turn to self-help stuff. They tempt human reasoning, and they begin daydreaming, much of you are there, and escape the real world of what's going on and what's happening. They fantasize. The fourth crutch that the world has taught us is supernaturalism, and some term to this. Call psychic hotlines or mediums or seek information from the other world, and they get in touch with witches and wizards and assured some kind of power through that, and superstition and crystals and all that stuff becomes at the forefront. And more people, I got to tell you, more and more people connect with the occult as they're trying to cope with their pain and hurt. They really do. And that's why it's so necessary to understand what it means to live a powerful life. See, what holds you together when everything around you is breaking loose? Well, there is no more reliable authority on earth than God's Word. It alone provides the shelter we need in times of storm. Now, the Word of God, it's just natural that Christians understand, well, we've got to be in God's Word, I understand that, we get it. But I want you to understand, it's more than just coming on a Sunday and looking at your Bible. It's more than that. You see, it's daily looking at what God has in His Word. God's Word, the Bible, gives hope when I'm discouraged. It gives hope. I invite you to turn to Psalm 119, and I'm going to read the entire psalm. Psalm 119. I'll read the whole thing, and then you can go home. No, I'm just kidding. It's a good word from the Lord, and I invite you to read the whole thing. In fact, I ask that you do that. I challenge you to do that. It's a great psalm. But I want you to look, just momentarily, I want you to look at, see, the Bible, God's Word, gives hope. Well, if you look at Psalm 119, beginning at verse 81, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. See, this psalm articulates a man who knows what pain is. He is going through hard times and he needs help. And so he cries out, he says, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I put my hope in your word. Now, Emily stood up here and she talked about she's going across the world to a completely different country. They speak differently. It's English, but it has lots of stuff in there. You know, and I can say that because people actually watch us from Australia. So bless you, people. Where are you? There, bless you. We love you. Really, we do. But it is different. But what they're up against in Australia is not indifferent to what we're up against here. And there will be moments where I know Emily will be able to connect the dots and she'll say, I have to put my hope in God's word only. It's all I can do to make it through. Do you need hope today? Well, here it is. The Bible is God's word, and the Bible never changes. It never does. The Bible is steady. It is reliable. The word of our God shall stand forever, says Isaiah. Now, we may even hear a verse like that, and we could say, well, I believe that. I know that. But let me ask you, where do you turn when those decisions need to be made that could affect your entire life? What is your authority in your life for your living? What holds you together when everything around you collapses? What holds you together? Some pertinent questions as you look at 2010. The psalmist knew he needed God. He's longing for God to intervene. He is not calling his friends. He's not denying that he's hurting. He's not seeking out occultic solutions. He is waiting for God's word. He's waiting. He knows that God's word brings hope to his hurting soul. Chancellor Hildebrand at Caremport, when I was a student there, Briarcrest, I may have shared this with some of you, but he memorized entire books of the Bible. This is amazing. And when he, for instance, when he would get up to teach Romans, he would walk in and he would turn to chapter 2 of Romans, and he'd start in and he'd start quoting Romans. Just like this. He's just walking around and he just talk Romans, 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 Romans. And someone in the class thought, well, I'm going to stump Dr. Hildebrand. I'm going to say, Dr. Hildebrand, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 23, it says this. And it was a completely misquote. And Dr. Hildebrand said, that's a complete misquote. Just like that. Just, he had it right there in his mind. See, and so someone asked a very critical question. Dr. Hildebrand, when do you do your preparation for class? Because you must do a lot of preparation for your class, you know, in order to quote like that. And Dr. Hildebrand responded with these words. I'll never forget these words. He said, my preparation for class has been done throughout my life. Throughout my life. See, I want the Word of God to be hid in my heart. But the trouble is remembering where I hid them when I want to find them. But I want them hid in my heart. Right? God's Word, the Bible, gives hope. But God's Word also grants comfort when I hurt. If you look at verse 82, look at verse 82. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Now, the psalmist learned something that we need to learn as well. Patience is a virtue. God doesn't come running every time we cry out for help. I call this the faith adventure in our life. When it almost seems like God is way out there, and we call, and we call, and we call. Have you ever seen, well, it must just be hitting the ceiling and bouncing back, because I don't think God hears me. Have you ever, what's that? That's why you pray outside. Yeah, that's right. You can hear better outside. Well, have you ever been there, though, where it's just like, oh, there's a blockage. There's a wall. There's something. God's just not hearing me. Well, that's where the psalmist was at. And he says in verse 85, he says, the arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I've not forgotten your precepts. See, he's just completely tormented. But he knows there's power. And it's right there in God's word. Right within your hand. The word of God, the Bible, is your power for living an incredible life. So I you got to make a new habit this new year. If you don't have this already, I tell you, a lot of us diet. Don't diet from reading the Word of God. Make this book central to your living. Let me tell you, the power of this book, this is not a book. This is the living Word of God. And it really boils down two choices. God's Word is going to be authority in life, in which you base your decisions, or the world is going to be your basis for decision making. The ones I showed you prior to it, right? The Word or the world? What God says or what other people say? Yeah? Our world fashions so much of what we do. When I was 14, how many of you remember when you were 14? How many of you are close to 14? Sorry. Some of you are close. Put those hands down. When I was 14, I had a pair of shoes. I know it's alarming for you, but I had a pair of shoes. I love this pair of shoes. I mean, I love them. I mean, they were my runners. And now, hold on. They went everywhere I went. Really. I mean, those runners, everywhere I went, they came with me. Really, they did. I wore them so much, they even began, you know, like, to flap. You know, have you ever had that? They flap. And I just thought this was more enjoyment. I thought, as I'm walking, I'd hear the click, 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 click of my runners. Now, my brothers, much older and much wiser and much more persistent than I, got a new pair of shoes probably daily. Well, maybe yearly, but they would keep up with the standards of the world while I would run in my flap-flaps, you know. I even had my gym teacher actually come to me and say, I think, Devin, you know, if you really want to be a track runner, you're going to have to get different runners because those ones are slowing you down as they flap in the wind. So everybody in my family and my friends, they were pressing on me the need to buy new shoes. And so something brilliant happened to me one day, and I know a lot of you can relate to this, especially you young people. My parents woke me up early on a Saturday morning and said, "We're taking you shoe shopping." Now, I know some of you are envious at this moment that your parents are taking you shoe shopping when you're 14. As I try on different shoes, they would say, "Oh, those are good. Yeah, those are good. Those are good." My dad would say, "What's the price?" When I told him $3, he said, "Too much." You know, and I went through this, and my brothers explained, I mean, I came back with a pair of shoes, but my brothers explained, "You got it, Devin. People are starting to talk. They think we're poor. You know, or they think we're neglected." My one brother said, they think we're outdated as a family. We've got to keep up. Now, my brother, who is 6 years older than I, the next in line, he came to me and he sat me down in my room and he said, "Listen, Devin, I got to talk to you. Your shoes, Devin, are really hurting my dating life. So my response to him was, "What dating life?" But anyway, I digress. Everybody turned on me. They all wanted me to consider these new shoes that my parents so graciously spent a couple bucks on to buy me, and they were probably be in style now. So I gave up my shoes for a day and a half. My feet hurt so bad, and they smelled so good. So I dug my shoes out of the garbage, and I began to relive my life until my brothers literally one night destroyed them with a match and gasoline. Seriously. Now, I know that a lot of you can relate to what I've gone through, and so in my marriage I've had the same thing happen to me, literally, where my shoes have to be snuck away from me somehow so that they can be replaced. Some of you are trying to do that with my Bible. You're not going to get away with it, but anyway. If you base your life on popular opinion of what is currently the in thing to do, you're always going to be out of date. Because it keeps changing every day. What used to be in yesterday will not be in today, and what's in today will not be in tomorrow. So the opinions of the world are constantly changing. You have a very shifty foundation. You do not have principles to live by if you base your life simply on popular culture and political correctness or opinion polls. On the other hand, if you base your life on God's word, it never changes. The truth never changes. Truth is always true. And so if God says something was wrong 6,000 years ago, it was wrong 5,000 years ago, it was wrong 500 years ago, it's wrong today, and it will be wrong 1,000 years from today. I don't care what opinion polls say. I don't care what political correctness says. I don't really care what is given us on television and on the media. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It always has been, and it always will be. If God says it's right, it will always be right. So you can either build your life on a shaky foundation that's constantly changing the opinions of the world, or you can build your life on something that is powerful and life-giving, and that's the Word of God. That's your solid foundation. Do you get it? Amen? God's Word gives hope. God's Word grants comfort. God's Word generates strength when I'm afflicted. See, look at verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Wow. See, I believe that's the truth. See, I can say that statement, and I want to say it again. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. See, I would not be standing here in front of you had I not realized how wonderful the Word of God is in my life. Scripture tells it straight. It provides the kind of solid foundation we need to walk in this world. One mother challenged her family. She said to her kids, she said, Satan doesn't want us memorizing God's word, but we won't admit defeat. We will fight. The kids were rolling their eyes at each other and tapping their fingers on the table. Until she said this, not only will we win the victory, but I will offer $12 for a dozen memorized proverbs. The kids were shocked. How much? $12 a dozen. Cold, hard cash. Son said to his mom, the wages of sin is death. Is that worth a dime? No, sir, she said. I'm only forking up for proverbs this month. So within a week, her son came strutting into the kitchen, 11-year-old strut, and he said, how much will you pay for 3 proverbs? She said, look, I told you, nothing. Nothing flat. It's a dozen or zero. Z-E-R-O. Her son thought, well, I'm not taking this. He's walking out of the kitchen, and he turned around with a wicked gleam in his eye, and he said, well, if you won't pay me for 3 proverbs, how much will you pay me to forget I ever read the Song of Solomon? Have you ever read the Song of Solomon? Do you know, have you? Boy, that was horrible. How many of you read the Song of Solomon? What, do you know what it's about? Man, I tell people not to read it until you're married. I mean, so you see, forget the song. Anyway, memorizing God's Word, the important part is God's Word generates strength. Now you think about it, we pay our kids for odd jobs around our house. I mean, washing the car, taking out the garbage, and shoveling snow. So why not pay our kids to memorize a life-changing conversation with God by memorizing His Word? Why don't we do that? I don't know why. Because, I mean, the Bible says the Word of God is living, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Think of it. When you're in battle, you need a weapon stronger than your opponent. This is sharper than any two-edged sword, which at the time was the most powerful weapon of the day. The Word of God is your weapon for your battle. And that's why it's so critical to memorize this book. God's truth needs to be at your ready continually. You need those little sticky notes with words on it from the Word of God. See, I can't press on you the need to be in the Bible. If you're struggling right now, if you need some comfort, if you're hurting, if you're in pain, if you're perplexed, if you're wondering about the future, if you're concerned about where you're going in life, you have at your disposal the greatest resource that will still continue to last for centuries, and that's the Word of God. It will never change. It will never, ever, one moment, forsake you. I like how the psalmist phrased God's word. If you're doubting, if you're frustrated, if you're confused, consult the word of God. If you're in a pickle, if you feel like you are being the brunt of intense battle, if you're the talk of the town, look to the word of God. It is more powerful than any two-edged sword. You talk about power. You speak of strength. What a gift. Let me give you a little secret. There's a lot of stuff in here you read and you just kind of don't get and you don't understand it. You wonder, why did God say that? You actually don't have to understand God's principles to be blessed by them. You just have to follow them to be blessed by Him. You don't have to understand why God says what He does. God is God and you're not. And He can make it up, the rules, he wants to because He's the Creator. And you're not the Creator. But if you cooperate with what He says, even when you don't understand what He says, and you obey Him, you're going to be just blessed with such abundant strength in order to make it in this world. George Bernard Shaw said, "No man ever believes that the Bible means what it says. He's always convinced that it says what he means." Oldest temptation known to man is to doubt the word of God. Whenever we find something in the Bible we don't like or we think is a little restrictive or that's kind of outdated or it's cultural or it's antiquated or old-fashioned, start saying, "Well, the Bible didn't really mean that." Well, did God really mean? Did God really say? Any time you start thinking that, you've fallen for the oldest trap in the world. In fact, it was Satan's original temptation. The one he used on Adam, the very first human being. One day the devil comes to Adam and says, "Did God really say you shouldn't eat of this tree? Did God really say that?" Whenever you start doubting God and His word, you start getting into trouble. Whenever you doubt God's word, you're doubting the love of God for you. It's great. I actually got sent to me, I don't know if it was this week, but it got sent to me this little, ever wonder what happened if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phones? I love it. What if we carried it around in our purses or our pockets? What if we flipped through it several times a day? You know, where's it? What if we turned back to go get it if we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of an emergency? That's something that just makes you go, "Huh, where's my Bible?" One more thing, and like our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because Jesus already paid the bill. And there's no dropped calls. Where are my priorities? Where are they? Are they wrapped up in texting? Wrapped up in my cell phone? Wrapped up in technology that the world would have us have? So that we don't have any time to spend with the one who gives us life. When I sit and read the Word of God and just read, I'm not talking about times of study, when I just sit and read it, I got to tell you, I feel my inner soul opened up to glimpses of truth that are incredibly personal for me. But I got to warn you, none of us approach the Bible with neutrality. We come to read the Bible, we always read it from our own bias, from our background, our temperament. We like to read into the Bible what we want it to say instead of it just speaking to us. We tend to add what we want, or we think we can just kind of take that away. It doesn't really belong there. God doesn't ask us to do any of that. He doesn't say, "I'll give you this much, and you do what you want with it." The Bible's not a fill in the blanks or pull away. We need to stay committed to just reading it. and learning from Him. We need to come to God's Word with a humble attitude and say, God, You know what's best for me. You know what's right for me. And I'm going to do what You say to do, whether it makes sense or not, because I want to be a better person in my life. You humbly submit to what He says. I've talked enough. I want to give you some application. Because I think more than ever in our world today, in our society today, more than ever, most of us want our life to be filled with joy. How many of you love when I say, let's be filled with joy? We don't want any distress. We don't want frustration. We don't want confusion. We don't want uncertainty. We want joy. Well, please, permit me. Just permit me for one moment. Read your Bible. Read your Bible even for the next month. Just try it every day. Reading it for every day for the next month. And just see what happens in your life. Just try it. Just like you try dieting. You try for a month and then you give up. But just try it. You know? I want to tell you that in a fresh way, I've learned more to relax and trust God in my daily battle by reading the Bible. And it's not something easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not something easy to just sit and read it and relax before God. But I put together this, because I've talked about it. I'm going to give you all a bookmark today. If you want it, just take one. Okay, I'll have them at the back. You can take one of these, and you can slip it in your Bible. And you can choose something like Proverbs, which I talked about. You know, remember the one that you didn't get. You can take this and stick it in there and start reading through Proverbs. And what it says is, it says, come to quiet. That means don't be disturbed and don't allow your mind to disturb you. Read verses or a verse slowly, 2 times aloud. Okay? Enemy doesn't like the word of God, by the way, read out loud. So just so you get that. Listen for the word or the phrase God brings to your attention. Okay? Then you read it again, and then you ask, how or where does this touch my life? And then you read it again, and then you say, what is the invitation to me from God? And then you sit quietly and you enjoy Christ's presence with you. Truly, that's what I do every day. Every day. And when I don't do that, my family knows it. Because I'm different that day. When I don't do this. When I don't let God speak to me. So you're getting a gift. If you want to take it, you can take this today. Stick it in your book, Proverbs, or wherever you want to go. Wherever you're at, that's great. Stick that in there. Start doing this. Try it for a month. The second gift I have for you today that we have handed out a couple weeks ago are the devotional calendars and schedulers that they're free for you. You're welcome to have those. If you got one already, please, I ask that, you know, don't grab a second one unless you have a friend you want to give it to or something. But we give you these things, these tools, so that you can actually apply them to your life daily, so that you can live your life daily with the joy of the Lord as your strength. That's why we do it, out of love. Out of love. If you want strength, if you want power in your living, stay consistent with the Word of God, because this is what gives you the power when you need it. It lifts you when you're downtrodden. It leads you when you need it. It admonishes you when you don't like it. The Bible defends during the most intense battle, and it comforts during the darkest valley. This is the word of our living God. Praise be to Him. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask a question, and that is the question that I started with: who is your authority? What is the final authority in your life? Where do you go when you need to make decisions? How are you when you're in the battle, when things aren't going your way, when you're frustrated, when you're intolerant? Where do you turn? Maybe this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you just want to say, well, I've done enough trying over this past year. It's time to make a fresh start this new year, right today, to read the Word of God, the Bible, every day. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you want to say that to the Lord this morning, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. I'm going to be still at times and know your word. If you're willing to say that and commit to the Lord today, make that fresh start. Daily, I'm going to be in your word, God. Daily, I'm going to be there. I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm not going to turn my hearing aid off. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear. If you're willing to make that commitment to him today, I'm going to ask you, it's tough now, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and keep them that way, I'm going to ask you to stand on the promises of God. I'm going to ask you to stand up if you're willing to make that commitment. Daily, God, I'm going to do this. Daily, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand on your word, the Bible. Make this a turning point year. Stand as promises. But make that commitment today by standing and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Daily, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, God. I want you to transform me. Just stand. Daily, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this a turning point year in my life, God. I want your joy. I need your joy. I need your comfort. I need hope. And it's found only in you, God. I realize that. Just stand up. Stand before him. Just stand up. Yeah, Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees all of you stand. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all of you standing. Everybody, just stand. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just everybody stand. Father God, we know that your word is really all we need. We don't need all this other stuff that the world tries to sell us on. We think it makes us happy. And it may, just for a glimmer. But God, we need you. We need to hear from you. And we know, Lord, that within your word, the Bible, contains really your word to us. And while, God, we've at times got caught up in reading books about the Bible, we've often forsaken your own word. God, restore us as your people, where you need to, so that through this year, we would just be still, that we would be quiet, and that we would know that you are God, and that you would be glorified in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Just